and welcome to episode 31 of Divided by Werewolves. Hope everybody is doing well. I would like 1 month, two weeks, maybe, or a week ago, without some fucking grizzly ass white dudes trying to take all of our healthcare away. Like, I just, that's, is that too much to ask? Like,
apparently.
I mean, what the fuck, right? Like, and then,
yeah.
Look, I ain't president, okay? I know this pressure is along with the job. I don't like the man, but I understand he's under a lot of pressure. But if you're in front of the UN and you're going to give the name of a fake African country, Wakanda, motherfucker! It's Wakanda, not yeah. Nambia, what the, Narnia, what bullshit? No, you first, when you address the African nations, you tell them about the glory of Wakanda, and then when you're schooling the Eastern Europeans, it's all Latveria. That's it.
It's that simple.
If you want to go, you know, new school, you can pass your condolences on to the Sokovians. But come on, son. Like, if you're going to give fake African names, at least bring Black Panther into this bitch.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
God, man.
I mean, that's diplomacy 101.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, not even, you don't even have to have read a comic book to do that these days. Jeez, we're not asking that much, man.
Right. Just
it's everywhere you go. I mean, it's everywhere.
Civil War's on Netflix. They ain't got Netflix on the first one. They ain't got Netflix at Mar-a-Lago, whatever the fuck it's called. We're not asking a lot. I mean, we're not. Really. And Rocket Man, great, great Elton John song.
Yep.
Subpar nickname.
Also, no, that was a different movie. Never mind.
Damn it. I mean, if you were insulting somebody, if you were like in a snap, if you were exchanging snaps, or you were in a rap battle and you called someone Rocket Man, they probably would take that as a compliment.
Compliment, yeah. That's,
yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of terrifying clowns, we're going to talk about It. Like, that's like, that's some professional shit right there, by
that
the
was
way.
A nice segue. Well done.
That was some morning. That was some morning zoo type segue action. Right there. We're gonna talk about It and Destiny 2. And then if we have time, I wanna hear about how Mitch got bamboozled by the latest Netflix show. But so Destiny 2, we've had last time we talked, it was literally the first day either one of us had played it.
Yep.
And we had thoughts. Pamela, our podcast recording tool, had her own thoughts about whether or not we would share those thoughts. So, unfortunately, some of that discussion got cut short. But I think, you know, the having only played it a little bit last time, you know, I think compared to what we had already seen in the demo, maybe with the exception of a strike, didn't really have a good feeling for how we felt that it is a game.
No.
And so now that you've spent more time with it, and my understanding is you just finished so you've got two characters done on PS4,
yep.
Is that correct?
Right.
And one left. So how are you feeling, like, your thoughts on the game, not just compared to, like, when you started, but also, like, compared to Destiny 1?
Yeah, I still think, and I think it's just because I played it for 3 years, I'm still on Team Destiny 1. Like, I appreciate that they changed so many things to appeal to a lot of people that maybe didn't care for Destiny 1. But, you know, like, I don't know, everything seems to be happening so fast that I almost feel like, you know, I'm not one of these people that was raid ready by week two on Destiny 1. Like, you know, I was in raid ready almost a year later. Like, Crota was out and I still hadn't done Vaulted Glass.
Right.
Because I was, you know, I was still sort of learning the game and I was fine with that. But this one is like, you know, they were like, all right, raid next week. Y'all get ready. And it was like,
and
all right.
People were like, okay, we're ready.
pretty much.
They're upset that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. People are bitching now about the lack of content. And I'm like, well, God damn, what do you want them to do? Yeah. I mean, it's not their fault that you play this 20 hours a day.
Right.
But, you know, I just think that I enjoyed the grind aspect of part one a little better than a lot of people didn't. But for me, that didn't bother me. So, yeah. And the new exotics, I've not been thrilled with anything so far, although I just did get Borealis today, and I'm kind of looking forward to playing that a little bit. But otherwise, most of the – I've either gotten old stuff or new stuff that's kind of like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I still feel like I'm just scratching the surface, to be honest. I've done, the campaign three times between the two systems, and I've barely done any strikes. I've done maybe four different strikes, and I feel like there's more than that. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that I'm as far into it as I don't know. Like my power level shows this, but I still feel like I'm like down here still like seeing new shit and learning.
And I agree, everything you've said, I agree with. I feel like I think to a certain degree, we both have somewhat rose-colored glasses when it comes to Destiny, because we're, our memories of Destiny are a little more like front-loaded with the later stuff when things were a little clearer.
Yeah.
In terms of like how do you level up, how do you get things, and you kind of knew what you had to do. It still required a grind. It still required you keeping track of when Iron Banner was, because you get some sweet drops then and shit like that. But when you think back to the original Destiny, when you're like, I don't know how any of this works. I don't know how I'm supposed to get stuff. You'd get like a purple and it would decrypt into a green. You know what I mean? Like like that. And I mean, that was definitely frustrating. Like, no doubt about it. But I agree with you 100% that, in an effort to make things as clear as possible, and then also take some of the grind aspect away, you really do you level up to the point you level up faster than the number of activities that are available to you kind of allow.
Right.
Then as a result, you're then just kind of going, all right, well, I'm going to do this thing just for the sake of doing it. And in some cases, that's totally cool. But in other cases, you're like, why would I do it? Like even if it's new, I go to a planet and there's a bunch of patrols. Okay, if it's not on my milestone and maybe I'm not going to get anything for it, well, why would I bother?
Exactly.
If I see... maybe there's an adventure. Maybe if you held off on doing adventures until like after the campaign, and you're like, okay, well, I hit a level that I'm not going to get anything for cashing in those reputation tokens. Why would I do it? And I feel like that's kind of a, that's a shame, especially for people who spent a big chunk of the last few years crafting all this story stuff, because that was always one of the things that people complained about in the original Destiny, was that it was kind of thin.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I don't know why I just hit puberty at that. it was kind of thin. And so you were just doing the same stuff over and over again. And so, they've definitely made an effort to address that. But then at the same time, man, you get to 260 or whatever it is so fast that then the stuff that drops things below that level, you're just like, okay. And the only thing I can think of is that they are really encouraging you to play to get three different characters. Because then, let's say that you're just like, hey, I haven't done this adventure for my Titan, even though my Titan's level, power level 270.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and do it. Maybe you'll get a gun or something that you can, you can give to your warlock when you decide to do that. Obviously there's going to be certain things that you're going to get, and it's going to be armor, class specific or whatever.
Right. Right.
But I agree with you in that I'm the same way. I feel like my power level is in one spot, and the activities I'm able to do and just like, I don't like, The power level represents it's fake. It's not really indicative of kind of where I am as a player and really where I want to be.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm not ready to Nightfall yet by any stretch, but I have a power level that says I can do the Nightfall.
Right. And I want to do this stuff. Like, I mean,
oh, I do too, but I just
there's some open world aspect to it. When I see something on a map, I want to do it. If I see, in the milestone it says do patrols or whatever, then, I'm going to do them.
Right.
The adventures I've already done them, but I mean, it very quickly turns into, like, that was the thing about the original Destiny, right? Is, like, you know, there are two classes, let's say three classes. There are three classes of Destiny players by the end of D1. There were people like John, and this is not a detriment to John, but these guys were, like, super hardcore. They raided a lot. They knew exactly, you know, they could bring people on raids.
Yeah.
You know, they were good enough to where if they had, like, you know, they had four good people and two people like us,
right.
they could still get the raid done. And they knew exactly, okay, here's what you should bring. This is what we need, you know, that type of thing. And they had everything, you know, all the min-maxed, all that shit ready to go.
Right.
Then there was people, I think, like you and I, who had a number in mind, and we were kind of doing things to get to that number. But I don't think, at least for myself, I don't think we were that, like, I don't know, knowledgeable is the right word. That's probably the more charitable word. And then there were people who I think were just like, yeah, I play Destiny, you know, I did stuff. I had a good time. I didn't really care about what my level was. You know, maybe they didn't buy the right expansions, or maybe they came in late where they got it all together and they were just like, sweet, I've got, you know, the main game and three expansions. I'm just going to do all these story missions. And I don't really know the difference between a purple and a blue. I just, this gun's got a cool name and I'm happy. And Destiny 2, it seems like they were trying to satisfy all of those people. But yep. what somewhat gets left behind, I think, is the people in the middle.
Yeah.
Like the people who are, like, kind of power leveling, it's very clear to them, here's what you need to do, this is when you should cash in these tokens or decrypt this engram, this is what you need to do, focus on these activities, you get to this point, focus on this point, you get to this point, it's very clear, they know what they need to do, raid drops in a week, boom.
Yep.
And then the people who are just like, hey, I heard good things about the first game, I'm going to pick this up and play it, they're like, wow, look at all this shit to do.
Yeah.
And then there's people like you and I who are like, okay, well, I know what it means that this number is what it is, but I'm not really ready for it to be there yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
And it's a shame. And it doesn't take away my enjoyment of the game, because Lord knows I did plenty of shit in Destiny 1 knowing I wasn't going to get jack shit for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not gonna play or anything like that. I'm not saying that I think I'll be done with this game, because I played Destiny 1 up, as you know, up until almost Destiny 2 came out. Right? Right. So, like, I'm not saying I won't do the same for this one. I mean, I may not. I plan to. I don't know. I feel like I did too much in a week, and yeah, I played a lot, you know, with finger quotes, because I didn't play the way these people who, you know, make the YouTube videos and this and that, and they make their living doing this. Like, I just played it, you know, I consider somewhat leisurely. Like, I, you know, I played in the evenings, and I would play until, you know, from, you know, six. Well, I'd get home from work about, you know, four, and I'd play for an hour. Then I'd stop, get dinner ready, you know, get school shit done with the kids, and then I'd get back on and play for another 2-3 hours. Mm. And, you know, and not even every day that way. And I've managed to do three characters through the campaign, and you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's happened so fast that I'm like, well, yeah. Like my hunter, for example, I hit 20, and I was taking shit out of the my vault or whatever, and that I'd put in there with my Titan, and I'm like, well, boom, 260 already. Now yeah. What? I still got half a campaign to go, or at least a quarter of a campaign to go, which right. I did anyway, but I didn't have to.
Right. Well, hell, I played less than that. I mean, I made a point because I got Mario. I got Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle right before Destiny came out, so I've been playing that at night. I play Destiny at most an hour 45 a day, at most.
Yeah.
And that's only on weekdays. I play it when I work out in the morning. I play it 7 to 8. On weekends, that's just an hour. And then if it's a night, you know, where I have class, or, you know, like tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am way farther along than I was at a similar point in Destiny 1. And I feel like I kind of have to pick. And part of this is mental. I could just say, fuck it, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And if I get to the point where I can't, I'm getting drops that don't matter to me. Well, who gives a shit? Half the drops you get, you're just like, yeah, whatever. But
yeah, you get to,
like,
buy baller shit from Zerg with that, so just break that shit down, you know?
Right. But you do kind of feel like, and I think too, you know, so much of the conversation in the game right now is about like, okay, well, how do you enjoy it if you're alone or like whatever?
Yeah.
Here's things to do. Here's what to, you know, there's, again, the clarity that comes with Destiny 2 made it so easy for people to drop these guides that are like, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Fuck these things. They're dead to you. You know, only do this. And you're like, well, I don't want to only do that. And they're like, you only want to do this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Don't you want purple boots? You know? And I mean, the reality is, I could have a power level of 3 bajillion. I probably would still suck ass at a raid.
Yeah.
There's no hurry for me. I know I'm not going to raid. My schedule, I don't have a raid-ready schedule. You know, I can't. Here's what I can do the raid. A year and a half from now, when motherfuckers are doing it for funsies in an hour and a half. Same way we did Vault of Glass, which that took a while. And they're like, yes, I finished the raid. And they're like, here's your power level 100 pistol. And you're like, nice. You know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, now that being said, I do think the, you know, some of the quality of life improvements they made are, you know, definitely welcome.
Sure.
Not having to go to orbit.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love the navigation so much.
All it's missing is the ability to place a custom waypoint. That's the only thing it's missing. And it's odd that they don't have it because, you know, you'll open the map up and you'll go, you'll see things and you'll go, oh, hey, that kind of looks like maybe there's a lost sector or whatever the hell they call it there. Or,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's a, what do you call it, a cache or something, and so you know it'd be nice to be able to mark those, but being able to do that, I don't understand why being able to fast travel, although like fast travel without telling your teammates you're fast traveling, I don't know if that's just something they were like, hey, we don't have time, we'll add it later, but I just need a note, just a little pop up like, hey, I'm out.
right yeah, just you know. Yeah, that's an obvious misstep, in my opinion.
Yeah. But you know, I can understand, maybe not giving a sparrow during the campaign, even if I thought it was annoying, because once you do get it, you're like, oh, thank God. But also, you know, I mean, the environments are definitely cool. Not having to support an older generation of consoles has made a huge improvement in terms of how the game looks. I'm jealous of people who will be able to play it on their jacked up PC.
Yeah, same here.
Like I know you saw that Wolfenstein trailer, right?
Yes.
I was like, I'm excited as fuck, but ain't no fucking way. Like I'll have to tape 6 PlayStation 4s together to get that shit to look like that.
I know.
I was like, God damn. Like, that looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
You know, the only thing, I mean, that I really have been disappointed by, because, I mean, the whole, like, what we've been talking about, the timeline of things, some of that is mental. You could just be like, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to go to this planet, I'm going to do some patrols, see what I can see. You know, maybe I'll do some public events, I'll just kind of fuck around. And, I mean, the game does have a pretty wide selection of things to do based on how much time you have available.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You're just like, hey, I've only got a half an hour. You'd be like, okay, cool, do some public events. You know, maybe do some patrols, get some shit, get your clan jacked up. You know, if you've got more time, do a strike. If you've got a lot of time, you know, try the raid. I think the guided games will be interesting to see how that ends up working out.
Yep.
But the story, for all the talk about how they were improving the story, I still was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, but, okay, so I think that the difference there is that here, at least there is one. Now, it's still a Bungie story. Don't get it twisted. It's not. It's a Bungie story.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But the first one had no story. And so you think back about Halo 1 through 3, especially like 2 and 3. I mean, this is on par with those. This is a Bungie game, so it has those huge set pieces and these really awesome moments, and how any of it has anything to do with any of the rest, fuck if I know, but it's fun to fucking watch, and it wasn't in the first one at all. So, you know, to their credit, it's still just Bungie doing a game, but at least this time there is a story.
No, that is absolutely right. Like, Bungie is really great at world building. They are shit storytellers. And it's a shame that those two things, like, they couldn't find somebody to write them a story.
I know. God.
And then they go, all right, we're going to take what you did. This is great. I like how you, like, have actual stakes and you kind of wrap things up at the end and it's understandable. Like, I think that's great. So what we're going to do is we're just going to plug that into this world that we've built.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, the Halo, like, you can think of Halo moments.
Right.
Like, the overall story. You're just like, I don't know. There are these rings. Yeah. And then, like,
yeah.
That guy was Mantis. He was an alien, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and then I was the Arbiter, and then this giant. Then the Flood were on my side, but then they weren't.
Yeah.
And then there was a giant brain underwater. I fucking find out what any of that means. It was cool.
Right. Yeah. 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 And you're right, because in the first one, they didn't really have. Although Taken King tried to rectify that. That at least was like, hey, there are these things. They're called Taken. They're bad. And you're like, oh. Why are they bad? Oh, they're just bad. You know, like, they're like ghosts.
And yeah, and I did like that.
Ghosts. Fuck
right.
Ghosts. You know,
like. Well, then they also did the whole thing where Oryx was Crota's dad and shit, and you killed his son, so he's like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck you. Like, you know, like, that was cool that they tied. It took DLC for there to be a story for Destiny 1.
Yeah, but that's basically been the case, though, for all of it, right? I mean, like, you know, the vanilla Destiny story was awful. And then it wasn't until, like, things like House of Wolves and all that shit that you know, they were like, all right, well, I guess, you know, we'll kind of flesh things out a little bit more.
Right.
I mean, I am tempted, like, really tempted, actually, to play other characters. Just kind of go, all right, I don't really have anything, you know, for a while. The next big game for me would be... The Shadows of Mordor sequel, and there's no hurry on that one. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, so maybe, you know, try another character. Do kind of like what you're doing. You know, kind of make it last a little bit. When I played the first game, by the time I got to the point where I was, you know, maybe considering it, I felt like I had so much time invested that I was like, I didn't want to then... Not like it was going against my character, but I just was like, they didn't make it easy to switch things. You know, I don't think they had the app... So you really were just kind of starting from scratch, and I just was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that.
I think now it's almost expected, and I think, like, touching on what you said, that they've done it this way in preparation for the fact that people are going to do all three, because that's – and I don't think that was at all what they intended with D1. I think it surprised them because, you know, the first thing, you know, Strange Coins Preserve was such a commodity. And all these videos were like getting 9 a week, and I'm like, what the fuck? Well, yeah, you do all the shit that you get the 3 for, but you do it on each character, and you get 9, and you can buy shit on Friday. And Bungie was like, oh, fuck that. So they nixed that shit real quick.
Right.
So I don't think they. I thought, you know, the idea was that people would have friends to play with, and they talk to their friends, and I'm doing this, and you're doing this. Well, cool, let's meet up because we're going to need both those classes or all three of those classes.
Right.
And the fact that everybody was just so starved for shit to do in the game that they all made all three.
Yeah.
You know, they got used to that, and they're like, well, okay, now we have to get them through this quick enough because they're all going to want to do their next one, whatever. And I think that's the part of the reason why that you get cut through it so fast.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, too, it's also like, you know, when they're trying to do the guided games, I think, too, and they're trying really to foster kind of this random people getting together, it works a lot better if they're like, well, we need a Titan. You're like, sweet, I got one of those.
Yeah,
you know, and you're
yeah,
not
exactly.
Like, oh, sorry, I'm just a, you know, I'm only a Warlock. Not
right.
Not to denigrate the class, but you're just like, and they're like, yeah, we have like 6 of them. We're good.
Yeah.
We're all full on Warlocks. We got lightning shooting out our assholes.
Yeah.
We just
need a bubble.
Yeah, we need a shield, really. But are you strong? Can you lift things? That's all we need right now. but, you know, I don't know. On the one hand, I think it comes down to, for me, is just kind of going, all right, well, how do I manage that? You know, how do I manage multiple characters you know, effectively to where you're not, because I mean, you know, there will come a time where I am like, all right, well, I want to get to, you know, the power level that allows me to kind of do other things, and mm-hmm. I don't want that to get compromised because I haven't focused, but I still think you'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still, you know, don't get me wrong, I still really enjoy the game. It also, it doesn't help that this has just been such a great year for games.
Yeah.
But, and you know, I'll get the season pass, I haven't bought it yet, but I'll get the expansions. I'm sure they'll do, you know, great shit with it and expand on things. And, you know, all the people that are, like, complaining about, oh, they don't have this, they don't have that. It's like, you know, it has been only, like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just think about, yeah, think about how Destiny 1, it, like we say all the time, think about D1, you know, the first month versus where it ended up.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, really. But I'm just saying, like, just think about how it ended. It's not even almost recognizable as the same game. So right. Who knows what's going to happen with this game? It's just started.
Right. Right. And I mean, it will be interesting to see, you know, if they, because it was, what, three years between one and two, if they plan on that same length of time, or if they're like, you know what, we need to, you know.
I'm honestly, I think because, you know, the original plan for Destiny was a 10-year plan, and I kind of think that that's not realistic, because hardware, you know, console life cycles are nowhere near 10 years. Like, we don't even get 2 years anymore. Yeah. So, you know, who knows, like... The third DLC pack may be Destiny 3, like, at this point.
I like it. So, I mean, not regretting my purchase in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, it is just interesting to, you know, Hargrod on the stream there was like, hey, once I finish stories, like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I should be doing more Destiny. Like, that, you know, kind of a given that it never ends.
Right.
Because, I mean, I was doing, you know, I was doing Iron Banner right up until the end because I was like, shit, I want to hit 400.
Yep. Yep.
And as we talked about before, you know, like if somebody said, hey, you want to do Wrath of the Machine King? Fuck it. Absolutely. I'll you know, reinstall it. We'll do it.
Yep.
So there's still, you know, a little bit left out of the first game, but anyway. All right. So did you see it? You saw it the first weekend it came out, or was it after that?
No, I saw it on the Saturday, and there's a story there.
Okay.
I had intended to see it on that Saturday, and I was bummed out because all my friends started seeing it on Thursday night or Wednesday night, whenever the preview was, and I was like, holy shit, you have to see it. You have to see it in the theater, and you have to see it now. And I was like, you're right, I do, but I couldn't. Like, and so, but because Saturday – I had plans to go to the plaza in Atlanta to watch Suspiria, the 4K restoration of Suspiria in the theater, and I was not going to miss that shit. I was like, I'm going to see this because I missed Rawhead Rex, and that was some bullshit because I really wanted to see that in the theater. So me and Holly and my buddy Tommy and his roommate, we all got together. We're going to go. Got in the car, and it's Holly's car. We got 5 minutes up the interstate and flat tire.
Oh, no.
So we got out, changed the tire, drove back to my house, got my car. And at this point, it was, let's see, if we drive recklessly, we'll miss at least 30 minutes of a 90-minute movie.
Oh, yeah.
So not really something. And I missed the death at the beginning, which is one of my favorite parts. So I was like, well, fuck. All right. Well, we could go see it in Auburn. Everybody's like, yeah, cool, all right. So we go to Auburn. Now, there's two theaters in Auburn. There's one over by the mall in actual Auburn, and then there's a new one in Opelika called the Tiger 13. So everybody likes the new one, but, like, you know, the time that was playing closest to us was at the old one. So we go over there, and we pull up. We get out of the car. We take a few steps towards the front of the theater. A guy stops and says, did you guys just get here? We're like, yeah. Oh, there's no power to the theater.
Oh, like,
what? Like, and I was like, so is it coming back on soon? Do you know anything? Oh, no, but it might be. We don't know. Okay. I guess we're going to Tiger 13. So then we had like an hour and some change to kill. And I was like, fuck. But anyway, yes, finally did get to see it in the inglorious Big D.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a theater here. It's weird. We have the big. Everybody goes to the AMC 400. And it's like fancy and nice and, you know, it's a nice theater. But then there's this other one called Movies 400. And it is not fancy. I'm not going to say it's not nice. It is definitely – it's cheaper. You get what you pay for. Sure. We have a very large Indian population where I live.
Gotcha.
And they will frequently not show popular movies on as many screens because they have three or four Indian features playing. And so usually it's a situation where you're like, okay – there's more flexibility at the AMC, but the Carmike is cheaper, so I'm going to go there. Well, they must have read their client. I don't know. Either there's a good crossover between Stephen King horror movies and Indian folks, or they just were like, this movie is about going to make a shit ton of money. So they had that shit on a ton of theaters, and I was really surprised. I had no problem getting. Getting a seat. So yeah, so I went to see it on Sunday, and I was kind of surprised that there were as few people in the theater as there were, just because, you know, they had as many showings as they did. Was yours packed, or was it?
Yeah, it was packed. Okay. Like, it was like one of the few times, and I never go to movies on like Friday and Saturday night, so that's why. But it's one of the few times I can ever remember having to sit like around strangers or next to strangers.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is the other nice thing about the Carmike is that nobody goes. And
yeah.
So you typically have your pick of seats. Although there were more people at this movie than there have been in others. But, okay, so now that we've established that, what are your thoughts on it?
In short, I fucking loved it. I loved the shit out of it. It was so fucking good. So good. Man, there was almost no downtime. It starts and you just like, hold on. You know, the kids were phenomenal. Skarsgård was great as Pennywise. Everybody was so concerned. I thought he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think honestly, I liked him better than Curry. That may be blasphemy. I don't know yet.
Well, you know what, I think it's kind of hard, like, because there was a lot of cheesiness. And
sure.
It was, you know, it was the 90s. The effects just weren't where they were.
Well, also, it was the TV movie, and this one is not. This is a hard R, you know, and it earns it. I mean, there is some uncomfortable shit, and it has nothing to do with Pennywise in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it is like, I was squirming at some of it.
We're going to get somewhat spoilery. I was really surprised just the opening scene with Georgie.
Yeah.
When you kind of see Pennywise's intentions, I was like, oh shit, holy shit, we're doing it. Okay, we're doing it.
Yeah, we're doing the damn thing.
fucking strap in.
Yeah.
Hope you like dismembered 8-year-olds.
Right. Oh. And then the thing is, it's so funny because, like, I came home directly from the theater and I put the Blu-ray in of the old one, and you just get the teeth and the mouth opening, and then it, like, cuts, right?
It's like the old lady, when she, like, looks out her window and sees all the blood in the rain. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know what? I've never seen it, like, the original It.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know that's blasphemy, but I did watch the David Soul. The vampire, Salem's Lot.
Oh, Salem's Lot.
I watched that. I watched the version of The Shining, the TV movie that had the guy from 30 something in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never seen the TV movie version of it because
I'm sorry. Did you see Hooper's Salem's Lot? Like not the Rob Lowe one, but the real one?
I saw the one that was in like the 80s.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there was, you know, there's been one since where like Rob Lowe was the main character and Rutger Hauer played Barlow.
No.
It's actually good. It's not as good as Hooper's, I don't think, to me, but it was good too.
Yeah, no, this one, David Soul was the guy who comes back to Salem's Lot. I don't remember who played the vampire guy, but yeah.
I have no idea.
I watched it. I've told the It story a million times when I was terrified, but Salem's Lot also, you know, holds a special place in my heart for being terrifying, because when I was a kid, you know, when I was in 7th, 8th grade, I would read Stephen King stories. I would, like, get them out of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night going to bed and waking up in the middle of the night, and there were these red eyes at the foot of my bed. And I was like, holy fuck, that fucking vampire third grader. I'm going to die here. Yeah. And it was my alarm clock. I had my desk at the foot of my bed, and it was my alarm clock. So between that and the cycle of the werewolf scare in the same room, you would think I would have just learned,
that's
hey,
fucked
maybe,
up, man. Oh,
maybe
my
you
God.
Don't read.
Because the two things that I used to lay in my bed at night after it was lights out and just be scared shitless about were Silver Bullet and Salem's Lot. Like, I knew one of two things. Either their werewolf was about to break through my wall and shit, and I didn't have a gun with a silver bullet in it, or that fucking floaty kid was about to float up by the goddamn window, and I was going to have to let him in. Because he would hypnotize. So that's funny to me that, like, the two things. Like,
well, I remember I got Cycle of the Werewolf. I bought it at, like, a used bookstore, so I don't remember. Like, my mom was cool. Like, my mom was just like, I don't give a fuck what you're reading as long as you're reading. And if it doesn't cause problems for you, it don't cause problems for me. In retrospect, maybe not the best parenting move, but maybe who I am. So thanks, Nancy. You're the best.
Exactly.
So I remember reading Cycle of the Werewolf and going to bed, and I heard this, like, scratching at my windowsill. And you want to talk about shit your pants terror. Like, there's a difference between being like, oh, if I saw a werewolf, I'd kick him in his werewolf nuts. And then you hear the scratching at your window, and you're like, I am going to die. I've never kissed a girl. I've never been laid. Like, this is not how I wanted to go out.
Right.
Peeing myself in my bed. What had happened was my... we had these – so I lived in this apartment complex, and they had these old metal blinds, and the windows are drafty as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the base of the blind, when the wind would blow, would scrape on the windowsill. And I can't tell you how long it took me to figure out that that's what it was, but I will tell you there was a large number of sleepless nights before I figured that shit out. But it didn't stop me from reading it. Every fucking night, and I had the illustrated copy too.
Yeah, that's what I have.
That's the best one.
Bernie Wrightson.
Hell, goddamn right. Do you remember so when they made Creepshow into a movie, do you remember that they did a, like, comic to go along with it?
Yeah.
That, oh God, I fucking love that. That
scene
where the woman, like the bitchy wife, gets bit in the face. He, like, chomps right on her face.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, if I could draw, and I can't, I'd be able to draw that shit from memory.
Yep.
That's how many times I read that goddamn thing. But no, I, like you, I was just like, holy shit, they are going for it. Like,
yeah, man. I knew it was R, but I didn't know how much that would be language. Because I knew the kids were going to curse.
Yeah.
And so, but holy shit, man. Yeah. They like you said, they just went for it.
And I think, I mean, to a certain degree, it's difficult because, you know, rather than do the whole kind of split back and forth, you know, between the kids and the adults.
Yeah.
They had to focus on the kids. And so, you know, to some degree, you did feel like it was like, okay, here's this kid and what he's scared by. Here's this kid and what he's scared by. Here's this kid, you know. And in the list of scary things, incestuous dad and scary painting, it's like, I don't know. I kind of feel, but, you know, you also understand that I don't know how much of that is directly from the book and how much isn't. But I did think it was interesting that Richie, wasn't afraid of anything. And it's because, in the book, he saw, like, I was a teenage werewolf.
Yeah.
And that's what freaked him out. And, you know, there's a difference between that in the 50s and that now. But I did think it was weird that they didn't really address, the fact that he wasn't scared, like,
right.
at all.
Right.
And from what I read, I saw somebody say, oh, you know, no, if you look when Pennywise is kind of going, doing all his little changey thingies at the end, one of the things he does is he gets a werewolf hand.
Oh, I didn't care. Oh, I saw the claws. I didn't necessarily think it was a werewolf hand, though.
And I was like, okay, well, that's great. But, I mean, nothing in the movie that
right.
we're watching would
right.
lead to know that that has anything to do with anybody other than just he's a fucking scary-ass monster.
Right. I just thought his fingernails got sharp. I didn't necessarily go werewolf with that.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm just like, is that really what happened? Or are you just kind of, like, reading into it?
Right. You know?
But, no, I thought it was great. I mean, it was, to me, I don't know what I expect from horror movies nowadays, to be perfectly honest, because I just don't get scared by movies, and I don't know what it is. So, you know, I thought I really enjoyed it more as like a kind of Stand By Me, Stranger Things kind of, you know, these kids are kind of getting together and the power of friendship, you know, and all that shit.
Right.
But...
Yeah, I think one of the complaints – I've read a couple of major complaints that people get bent out of shape over. One of the minor complaints is that it's basically Stranger Things. And I'm like, well, Stranger Things is kind of basically Stephen King. So you
right,
can't
yeah.
– you know, who's to say, like, you know, they didn't sort of one rip the other off, but it's not the way you're thinking. And it's fine. I love Stranger Things, but it's straight up a Stephen King
thing. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So I don't see that as a criticism of it at all. Like saying that
I don't either. In fact, I thought it was great. I thought that, you know, they definitely set things up. Like Stranger, like you said, they kind of pull on one another. So
yeah,
you know, why not take advantage of the fact that, you know, Stranger Things was able to inspire, or sorry, Stephen King things like The Stand and, you know, whatever. Even in it, we're able to inspire Stranger Things, and then
mm-hmm.
you know the people. Stranger Things probably hit a bigger audience than something
yep.
like this would have normally.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I just let it all kind of.
It's incredible how the timing worked out, and I'm sure somebody smarter than me figured this out a long time ago. And we're like, yeah, all right, so. You know, we got this thing, we're going to redo it, and then Stranger Things becomes the hottest thing ever, and they're like, holy shit, it's been 27 years since the original, and it comes back every 27
right.
years. This is fucking lightning in a bottle, gentlemen. Like, this is perfect.
I mean, you'd have to be foolish to not, like, I mean, greenlighting it. Just also, you know, I mean, the fact that I think that as much as maybe you don't like Deadpool, I think the fact that it did say, hey, there are people willing to, like a hard R doesn't
yeah.
necessarily have to be the kiss of death for a movie. It doesn't necessarily
right.
have to. We can get mass appeal with a hard R.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to mean that it's just like a niche type of audience, you know, whatever, like a... you know, maybe like a hostel or something where yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
maybe you make $30 million, you move on with your lives. I think kind of all of that stuff together, just the landscape of movies changing to where, you know, a hard R isn't a death sentence.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like a Stranger Things where, you know, you've got kids and they're in peril, but yet you still, you know, it's something folks are into anyway.
Right.
But no, I thought it was great, and I was so disappointed when it was over that it was over. I was like,
yeah,
shit.
I know.
I immediately want to know. I want to see what happens.
Yep.
You know, when they go back to modern times, like, what does that look like when modern times are now? How does that change the things that, you know, everybody is afraid of?
Right. Right, yeah, it's going to be neat, especially and the one thing I will say, having seen the one from 90, whatever the fuck it was, versus this one was, when I watched that old one, it doesn't make me remember the book, and I haven't read the book since I was in eighth grade, I think, when my dad got, you know, when it first came out, is when my dad, because my dad was a member of the Stephen King male book club thing where they,
oh really,
oh yeah. We have all of them because we get them as they were mailed out by that club, the hardbacks and everything, right? So I remember when it came out, he read it, put it on the shelf, and then, like, you know, the next year or whenever it was, I pulled it down because I thought the cover was neat, and I started reading. It was the big, it's still to this day probably the biggest book I've ever read.
1,100 pages.
Yeah.
Was it the cover with the scaly hand coming out from under the sewers?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And so, but it was funny, like, watching this one, and I don't know, maybe I'm just, I don't know if I'm older and, like, this is hitting me, or I, like, my memories are coming back for some strange reason, but, like, this movie, so many things, I was like, oh shit, I remember that from the book, like, oh my God. And the other movie doesn't do that for me.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't remember the book at all, other than just it scaring, like, oh no, I take that back. I remember the thing I remember most from the book was the scene in the junkyard with the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And the mosquitoes that come out.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was actually like, I don't like eye stuff.
Right, right.
Like, man, I hope they don't do that in the movie. Like, I'd be really okay if they were just like, we're not doing that. That's gross. And so I like to think that the asshole who was played by the guy who was in Bloodline, that's what happened to him.
Yeah.
that he got his eye popped by a demon mosquito. But I remember that in the book and being like, that is nasty. But, like, actual, you know, kind of more individual things, like, I don't really remember any of it. And that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it certainly... it's not like it takes away from your enjoyment of things.
No, not at all. It's you don't have to know anything about the book to enjoy this movie. Like, it's most of the people that I know who talk about this movie and love this movie knew it was a book, but have not read it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And it made a lot of money, so that's good. You know, that was my concern.
Yeah.
You know, when you heard what they were doing, is you're like, okay, well, it can certainly stand alone on its own. And they did it that way. I mean, it's not like, you know, they do something where they kind of fast, like in Stranger Things, you're like, oh shit, this is done.
Right.
You know? And it's not like that at all.
Right. Yeah. This could be the end. Like, that could be it. If it hadn't done well, because I think it was it's like $60 million, I think, was the budget, which
something like that
for a big budget movie and that's what I was talking about a minute ago, was the major complaint that I see is that there was some questionable CGI, which I, you know, it didn't bother me. I didn't think it was necessarily, you know, it wasn't War for the Planet of the Apes, but it didn't look as bad as people are making it out to have looked.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah,
I didn't have any. I didn't really have any times when I was like, well, that looks fake. I mean, you know, he's a fucking murderous clown. Like, I mean,
he's a shape shifting creature that takes on the guise of a murderous clown.
Right. Exactly.
So who's to say what he's supposed to look like? You know what I mean? So
I didn't have any problem at all with the way the effects looked.
But what I will say is that thankfully, because what it did, 130 plus mil opening weekend, and it I'm looking at here, it did another 60 the second.
Yeah, well, this weekend, you know, unless you wanted to watch, you know, Styles from Teen Wolf, which I do want to watch him be a spy.
Unless
you wanted to watch that, I mean, there really wasn't anything. It kind of came out at the perfect time.
Mother was last weekend, right? Or is that this weekend?
That was last weekend.
Nobody
saw that movie.
Right, I want to see it, though, man. I love Black Swan and Requiem for a Dream. Come on, now. I'm looking forward to Mother.
I haven't seen Requiem for a Dream. Black Swan, I was just like, eh.
I get it. Yeah, his movies are an acquired taste. I happen to love them, so I'm really excited for Mother. But
even Jennifer Lawrence's family didn't go see Mother. Like, that's how many...
I honestly think that she told them not to, because, like, watching interviews for her and shit, like, it fucked her up trying to be in this movie. She's taken 2 years off of acting because of this movie.
It's weird because, like, that's her boyfriend.
Yeah.
She's dating him.
And right.
He's like, hey, how would you want to be in this, like, horribly fucked up movie of mine? She's like, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
This won't destroy our relationship at all.
Right, right. She forced her into early retirement, but nah, we're good.
Well, she's going to be in that, you know, La Femme Nikita, whatever, Atomic Blonde movie. She'll be fine. She's got all that Hunger Games money, all that X-Men money.
Right? Yeah, exactly. No, she's fine. I'm just saying, I just thought it was interesting that she talked about how fucked up this movie made her. And Nick, then the next thing I read is she's taking 2 years off.
Well, when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, well, I like Ed Harris.
Right.
I like Javier Bardem. And I was like, what the and I like Jennifer Lawrence, don't get mad. But I was like, what the fuck is this thing about? Like, just when she's like, these strangers are staying in her house. I was like, girlfriend, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then I have avoided any kind of discussion about what this movie is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, at some point, I will watch it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm sure I will not understand it.
Yep. You're not going to. That's I already know that. I haven't seen it. I know I'm not going to get it. But I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it while I watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I did watch a new Red Band trailer for the new Guillermo del Toro movie.
Oh, yeah. The Shape of Water.
Now, is that like an Abe Sapien like prequel?
I'm what I'm reading it or what I'm getting out of it is Guillermo's like tired of the Creature from the Black Lagoon not getting his fucking due. Like, that's what I'm – it looks to me like sort of a weird, fucked up
he looks like Abe Sapien.
He does. He does.
I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine.
I
don't know what Doug Jones has been doing, but fucking give that dude some work. Like,
yeah,
oh,
no,
totally
I agree.
Cool.
But to me, I'm just getting the Creature vibe from it. I don't know why.
I just – you know what? If you're like – I don't care what the movie was. If you tell me that Guillermo del Toro and Michael Shannon are making a movie together,
yeah,
I'm going to fucking go see it.
Oh, I am too. Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. You can stop right there. I'm going.
okay, so real quick. So
yes.
Go see it. Absolutely,
yep.
Go see it. It is well worth the price of admission. And for those of you who maybe might be, you're like, well, I don't like horror movies. It's not – I think that part of the reason it did as well as it did is because it can be enjoyed by all sorts of different people. If you're somebody who's like – like, I would be okay with my wife seeing this because she hates horror movies, but I don't feel like it is – like, I would never be like, you should watch Raw, you know, like – you know, or The Void or, you know, some
right.
of the movies that we've talked about where you're like, well, that's kind of fucked up. I feel like she'd be okay watching this movie. I think that if you're okay with being scared, but, you know – you would enjoy this movie because so much of it revolves around what the kids are going through.
Right.
And there's definitely scary parts in it, but it's not like this super kind of gory, unsettling type of horror.
Right.
It is as mainstream. And I don't mean to use that word as a pejorative. It's like as mainstream a horror movie as you can get and still be like R rated.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is. It's the King adaptation, which, you know, typically are done on television and they're fucking 4 hours long. Well, this just happens to be a short one, an hour and 40 minute one that's R rated in the theater.
Yeah.
It still has that more adventure type of feel that just so happens to have this fucking creature that's chasing the kids. But still, it's more about the kids. And, you know, it's like Stand By Me. Right. It's the journey is the story. Right. And so that's kind of what you get out of it. It just so happens to have a murderous clown that's trying to eat the children.
Yeah. And if you don't like clowns, I got nothing for you.
Yeah. You're not going to like this one.
Like it.
It won't change your mind.
Right. Okay. So real quick before we go. So you started watching,
man.
I saw the trailer for the Netflix show, which is like their parody of like a, true crime making a murderer type of thing. When I first started watching it, I was like, oh shit, we're going to see some justice not being meted out. And then they're like, they put all the dicks on the cars. And I was like, oh, this is a joke.
Right. See, I didn't get that from it, Brandon. I thought this shit happened.
The dick bandit.
Yes. I was so enthralled with this story when I saw that first trailer. I was like, holy shit. Like, this is fucking amazing because, you know, like, it's like fucking Banksy, only in high school and shit. And he's, oh shit, and he's being framed. Like, I was all in, man. I was like, this is gonna be fucking great. I can't wait to see this shit. And then
you didn't watch Making a Murderer?
No. not a second of that show did I watch. I had no idea this was a parody of that. No clue. Okay. I thought sure. This asshole kid, like, who was like such a, you know, a fuck up, really got framed by somebody else spray painting dicks on the teacher's cars. And this other kid was like, oh, you know what? He's an asshole, but I bet he didn't do this because these dicks are different than the dicks that he draws. And I was like, holy shit, this is going to be great. Now, like 5 minutes in, I'm like, wait, this is fake. God damn it. Oh, God.
That is awesome.
I felt like such a moron. I was like, wait a second. So I
you're
like,
not gonna watch it?
No, fuck this shit. I didn't.
Why not?
They fooled me. They made me look stupid. I'm not watching it.
They didn't make you look stupid. That's not true.
Oh God, I felt so fucking dumb, man. I was just like, really? Wow. I was like, I'm the asshole who thought the Blair Witch was real. Like, I was like, you know, I fell for it.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when I first started watching it, I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, that's got to be a joke, right? There's no fucking way that's, like, actually, like, real. But then, yeah, I was like, when they started talking about the dicks, I was like, oh, that's a joke. Like, that. Oh. Okay, I get it. I get it.
Nope, I thought it happened.
I like that's the – so that really is the justification that those dicks are different than the other dicks?
Yeah. That's where the kid starts to – he's like, you know, it doesn't add up because, look, on every dick that he's drawn, there's ball hairs. But on the ones on the car, there are no hairs.
That's awesome. And you're still not going to keep watching it?
No, I think it's not – it didn't make me laugh. Like, I just – there was a couple of things I kind of – because I did watch the first episode. I realized very early on that I was a fucking idiot. But I still was like, nah. You know, he says some dumb shit and it made me laugh. So, I just – it's like trying to watch like anything on MTV these days or any reality TV. I feel stupider after it, like having seen it than I can't watch any more of it.
My wife and I, we still watch Teen Wolf. And everything because we've watched so many seasons of it at this point,
right?
That we're like, and every time we watch it, she goes, "Do you know what's happening?" And I go, "I have no idea what's happening." And we've watched all the seasons. Like she got me watching it, and then I was, you know, she told me about it. She's like, "I know it's called Teen Wolf, but it's not stupid. You should totally watch it." And I was like, "Okay." And then we went on a vacation one year, and we was like, "Well, we'll bring the Roku." And she's like, "We'll just get caught up on Teen Wolf, and then that way, when the new season starts, you can watch it." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And I fucking loved it. And this season, I'm like, I don't know what is happening. Styles is at the FBI Academy. Like, where are all the people that I like? Like, he's like in community college or some shit. Like, what is happening? Like, who are these people? And they keep introducing new people, and every episode she's like, do you know who that guy is? And I'm like, I have no idea who that person is. Like, none. Yeah. Not even a little. But yeah, we still watch it because it's the final season.
Well, it's like, you know, Scrubs was the same way after JD left, and it's like they tried to do that one other season where like Turk and what's her nuts were like teachers or some shit.
There's a season where JD left.
Yeah, he leaves, and then they did like one more season, and it was fucking god awful. Like it, oh god, it was like an embarrassment to the wonderment that was that show, or like how
the memory of
how good that show had been, and they're just like, oh, well, but look at this, and you're just like, oh god, like just end it when he leaves, please.
Yeah. So what's next? That's the question, right? Like, what's next? I know on the games front for me, I guess it would be Shadow of Mordor. But that, even that's like middle of October, and who knows if I'll play it when it first comes out.
It seems like there's what, Wolfenstein's in October, and there's something else in October.
October 27th, fucking between Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch.
Yeah.
And Wolfenstein, and I think the new Assassin's Creed, which I know you don't care about.
There's something else too that's right there, though. There's like two games that I want that are coming out on the same day, but I can't. Only one I can think of is Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
but anyway, I don't know.
But in terms of movies, I'm just so kind of not with it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's several that I really want to watch. I want to watch Super Dark Times. I want to watch Good Time. I want to watch Mother. Of course, the Rawhead Rex 4K restoration's coming out. Suspiria 4K is coming out. So there's some old shit I want to see, but like the top two, I think right now for me are Super Good, Super Bad Time and Good Time.
Yeah, because unfortunately, like the early reviews of the Kingsman sequel are not great.
Oh, really? Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. So, but
You can't just throw Channing Tatum in everything and expect it to be amazing. So.
Well, they said he was barely in it.
Oh, really?
The problem.
Yeah.
You can throw him in everything. He needs to be there.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's the problem. The problem isn't that they put him in it; is he just wasn't there enough. In my dream of dreams, it's like Channing Tatum and Tom Hardy do a remake of Midnight Run.
Oh yeah, that would be
cool. I mostly like that.
That would be fucking good.
But anyway, so that's it for us. Now, unfortunately, so things are a little up in the air. I forgot to mention this to you. At the beginning of the show. So
okay.
When we normally would record next week, I started a new class and I have to make some classes up due to some, between Hurricane Irma and then my professor not being available. We got to make some classes up. And so one of the ways we're making them up is that when we would next record, I actually will be in class.
Gotcha.
So I don't know what we're going to do, if we're going to push things off a week. Mitch and I will talk, or just say we'll skip at that and then come back. So we'll either be 3 weeks or 4 weeks before we have another show.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out. It'll just be more time for you guys to go see it and play Destiny. And
there you go.
Find something new.
That's something to talk about.
But we really appreciate you hanging out with us. We do. I am going to throw some new podcasts. Our friend Sean, him and his son, they're doing a podcast. So we'll throw a link to that in the comments. And then
yes.
Darvin, who's been he's been a fan of the show, friend of ours on Twitter. He has a video channel on YouTube where he's going to be watching bad movies called Cinematological. You can follow him on Twitter and check his stuff out. I'll throw a link to that in the comments as well. So definitely check out the podcast, check out the YouTube channel, spread the love to our friends as well. And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter, follow us on Twitch, so you make sure you know when we're streaming. Not much has been going up on the YouTube channel of late, but it's kind of hard to do videos of Destiny when, like, at any given moment, we don't really know what it is we're going to be doing.
Right.
But we appreciate you hanging out with us. We hope that you will be here with us whenever it is we record next.
Oh wait! You have to plug. Oh. You have to plug Divided by Witcher.
Oh yeah, Divided by Witcher. Okay, so absolutely, yeah. So, Autistic sent me an email last week, and he said, "I made this movie about Mitch's different times playing Witcher 3." And I'm afraid that it might be too mean. And can you watch it first? And just let me know. Like, I think he'd take it in the spirit it was intended. But I just want to make sure. And it was like 3:30 on like a Friday afternoon. And I had no more fucks to give. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it. And I fucking laughed my ass off because you have to go see it. Like, we'll need to see how we can link to it from our channel.
Yeah.
But if you go to YouTube and you search on Divided by Witcher, three words,
It'll
pop up. And he did like an hour, not an hour, sorry, like a minute 30, maybe 2 minute long compilation of scenes from Mitch's stream, where Mitch gets both angrier and more apathetic. as the time. It is fucking hilarious.
It is.
And we love
I loved it.
Doing it, and you absolutely should go see it.
Yes,
because
please.
It is great.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, it is great. So thank you so much, Autistic, for doing that. Of course, we love having you on our streams, being the big fan that you are. Couldn't do this stuff without you guys. So go check that out. And like I said, I'll throw the cinematological I think it's like the
Gene Pool Variety Hour
podcast link in the comments on the Podbean site, but then also on iTunes. So for myself and Mitch, thanks so much for hanging out. We really appreciate it. It's been episode 31, and we look forward to spending some more time with you in the next few weeks. So for both of us, thank you, good night, and have a good evening.